Maybe we'll get more callers. Maybe we'll get more callers.
I hope so.
Yeah. Get them to participate more.
Well, good evening, and welcome to the Mad Voice here on this Sunday afternoon here in the Atlanta market where I am. It's like bees and very nice. I hope where everyone else is. I know that the only two panelists on the board right now are both Miami, so I guess the weather was nice there. Got you guys on the phone. Wait a minute. Okay. Whoa. Let me get that out of there. So, welcome, guys. And I just see that we possibly have our Los Angeles guest in online. So I want to start out with it looks, you know, this coronavirus thing keeping people locked up, I think, is causing a lot of issues. And I've been hearing people say that kind of murmured in the background. You know, we have not brought it out, but this weekend has caused another issue, one that we talk about all the time, gun violence. I mean, Chicago and New York, they had a surge of gun violence this weekend, which was terrible. Cincinnati, overnight violence, they had 18 people shot and 4 passed away. Philadelphia, the weekend gun violence leaves 4 dead with 15 wounded. I mean, things are just not, you know, they're out of control in terms of things I never thought about. Because the CDC or a couple of groups got together and did a survey on how people are feeling. And what they came out of this with is one in four young people aged 18 to 24 are reporting suicide thoughts. They're thinking, you know, to do suicide. And I've seen a lot of people talking about people are being locked up, a lot of things are going on that they've never heard of or seen before. Are you guys experiencing any of that stuff? Ron, are you seeing any of this?
You mean me personally or down here in Miami?
Either one.
Personally, I mean, personally, you know, I think there is some truth. Or a lot of truth to what the mental health experts have been saying all along that, you know, this pandemic and being, you know, in some cases like me, that I don't go out to restaurants anymore. And I used to do that all the time. I used to look forward to that. And I don't even get together with friends anymore because, you know, I'm trying to be overly cautious because of my underlying health issues. So, you know, yeah, I think maybe a little bit of cabin fever, depression is setting in. So I just get in the car and go for a ride, you know, and just, you know, I've got my family, my brothers, but even when I see them, you know, we don't, like, get together for a long time. And so it's really, I think, affecting everybody. And, you know, some people more so than others. And, you know, some people are more susceptible to mental health problems, you know, or, you know, depression, et cetera, than others. So I think it is a problem that we're going to have to be dealing with for a long time. But I go back to what I've said before. And it aggravates the you-know-what out of me to know that we could have been in a much better place today had our president done the right thing from the very beginning instead of downplaying the use of masks and making fun of people that use masks. And, you know, you just look across the pond and look at the European countries, and yes, they're having a resurgence, but for them, a resurgence is 1,000, 2,000 cases in the whole country. You know, Miami-Dade County alone has 7,000, 8,000 new cases in one day. I mean, it aggravates me to the nth degree to know that something as simple as, you know, following what the CDC was saying, you know, wearing masks and social distancing and not having our president mock it from the beginning, we wouldn't be facing these issues right now. You know, kids would be probably going back to school like they are in some places, and, you know, we'd have this much more under control. So, I mean, down here in South Florida, Miami-Dade and Broward counties, the fourth and fifth largest school districts in the country, they're both starting the school year virtually, you know, because the number of cases is still, I think in Miami-Dade, it's 18%. 18% out of every person that gets a test is positive, which is way above the 5% that the CDC recommends for a safe reopening. So, yeah, I think it's an issue, David.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I think it's an issue that's going to get worse, because if people are killing people, and that's four or five different states that are saying over the weekend they've had issues with gun violence, an over amount of people dying. People just going berserk. Don, what are your thoughts?
David, you're right on target. And the reason is, Ron gave a beautiful picture of what's happening. And when you look at it on a global or a worldly or United States point of view, people were made to assimilate. We were made as human beings to assimilate with each other, associate and assimilate and communicate with each other. And we've been virtually locked down for about close to 10 months. Locked down. And that's affected people's psyche. The product can't fix the product, David. The product cannot fix the product. The product has to associate with other like human beings. I always say, my mind is like a bad neighborhood. I don't go up there by myself.
I like that one.
That means I gotta talk to people. I can't fix Don.
Right. Okay?
So we need to assimilate. We haven't been able to. And then children, oh my God. Keep the kids in the house. Keep them close. Kids need to play. They haven't been able to be out. That's why the test scores are low with children. We haven't really got a good sampling on children. I thank God I live in South Florida, because we got some beautiful people that use a lot of logic with our school systems. They elected to teach online for the rest of the year. So that, in other words, they're saying we don't have proper information to send our kids back to school among each other with no mask, unprotected, unprepared for assimilation. I mean, that's common sense. And that's what they did. And the thing is, I'm like Ron, I'm disgusted that we didn't do what we needed to do back in January, February, March. And instead, we had a leader saying it's a hoax. Oh, it's just a little. It'll be gone in 2 or 3 days. Not really recognizing what we were dealing with. This was one of the most serious health crises that we've experienced in 100 years. And he says it's just, I'm lost for words. I'm lost for words.
And Don, what I don't understand is there's still about 45% of the population, my two brothers included in that 45%, that swear by Donald Trump. And they say that everybody's just always out to attack him and that he's done a great job that nobody else could have done any better. Where are they getting their information? I mean, I don't know if you saw the president, his interview with this guy from Australia, Jonathan Swan, and the questions that Jonathan Swan was asking of Trump. They were really tough questions. The questions that I haven't seen any American journalists ask him, and he didn't let down, you know, because Trump tried to counter by showing his little graphs that looked like kindergarten graphs, and Jonathan took it, Jonathan Swan, and he said, "Oh yeah, Trump, but you're comparing, you know, you're just basing this on the number of cases. You can't do that. You got to compare it to like." So that you're comparing apples to apples, because Trump said that we're better than every other country. We're better than the world. That's what he said. We're better than the world. And of course, when you look at it, you know, maybe in the number of testing, maybe we're doing more testing than almost any other country in the world. But when you look at the number of deaths per million or deaths per 100,000, which is comparing apples to apples, the U.S. is in the top 10. I mean, we've got third world countries that have better death rates than the United States of America. I mean, it infuriates me.
And you know what, Ron? He fails to realize that we have 51 different countries made up of the United States of America. Each one is independent. Each one is going through different crises. 51 different countries. That's what we're dealing with. And in my 50-some years in broadcasting, I've never seen a person that has such a grasp upon 30% approval rating and manipulating the media like this person. If it would have been Don Wiggins or Ron or David, they'd have thrown us out on our ears.
All right, yeah, and he gets away with his arrogance and his – you know, and putting down the media all the time and calling it fake news. And there's never been anything like it, you know, that I can remember.
Never.
All right. Let's see. Darius is on the line. Darius, what are your thoughts on what we were just talking about? I don't know if you heard the whole conversation. We were basically discussing the things that are going on in the world right now that are just other than the coronavirus itself, people being kept in and stuff. It seems like, you know, there's so many shootings that are happening this weekend, so many people that have died. The test that came back are saying now that 1 in 4 young people age 18 to 24 are all thinking about committing suicide. And, you know, in every city, there are a lot of things that are just wild. What are your thoughts? Have you seen any of this going on?
Oh, absolutely. You can't miss it. I'll just say in terms of the coronavirus, I think I heard Ron talking about the president. And I've yet to hear anybody, and I keep saying this over and over, I've yet to hear anybody say what the president could have done or should have done differently. When the president closed the borders to Europe and China, he was the first one to do that, and there was no scientific expert that told him to go ahead and do that. Fauci even admitted himself was probably the single biggest act that saved the most lives. There's not one person that died because they didn't have proper PPE. There's not one person that died because they didn't have a ventilator. There's not one person that died because they ran out of hospital beds. So I just don't understand. And like I said, if somebody can tell me, name one thing that he should have done that he didn't do, then, you know, I may go along with it. I think he's done an excellent job.
Stop right there. You just said people ran out of all kind of stuff that you mentioned. What are you talking about?
No, they didn't. There was nobody that died from a lack of any. He overperformed. Even the governors themselves said they had stockpiles. They had more than enough. They anticipated that they were going to run out, but they never ran out of anything. There are hospital beds in New York that went unused. He sent a mercy ship there to L.A., to New York. He built a hospital at the Javits Center in New York. Nobody blames Governor Cuomo and the governor of New Jersey for allowing COVID patients to go into elderly homes where thousands of elderly people died because of their direct orders. That's not Donald Trump. That was those governors, those liberal governors. But yet Cuomo, he gets a higher rated rating than Trump when you can directly tie deaths in New York to his actions, his executive orders. But, you know, anyway, that's just the narrative that you guys want to have, and it's regardless of fact. So, you know, I what can you do with that when the person refuses to acknowledge the facts, which is what
Darius,
you guys are doing right now.
Darius, I'm not disagreeing with you that, you know, people on both sides of the aisle make mistakes, you know, because this is something that we're dealing with. You know, it's a pandemic that in the eastern countries, you know, the Far East, they're used to dealing with things like this. But here in the West, we weren't. So there were a lot of mistakes made. But the one thing, the biggest thing that we country and under the leadership of our president, which he didn't do, that we could have done, and it's been proven by science, and you can't deny this, is by wearing masks. From the very beginning, it wasn't until I don't even know it was recently that Trump started saying, you know, that it's okay to wear a mask, because for the longest time, for months, he ridiculed it. And he said, oh, you know, and while the rest of the world was wearing masks. And that's why, you know, in European countries, for example, it's much more under control than it is here. So you ask for one thing that he could have done differently. And I'm giving you an answer right there. He could have not ridiculed the use of masks from the beginning.
Okay, so let's say this. He never ridiculed the use of masks. What he said was, that's an individual decision. If you want to wear a mask, if you feel like you should wear one, wear one. If not, you know, use your best judgment. He left that up to the governors and states in certain areas. So he never said not to use a mask. But you know who did say not to use one? Dr. Fauci back in March was saying, oh, you don't need to wear a mask. You know who else said you didn't need to wear one? The Surgeon General. Oh, yeah, you don't need to wear a mask. It's not necessary unless you're going into an area where there are people that are infected. There's still some scientists to this day that are still saying there's no proof. They're saying, yeah, there's definitely evidence that it could slow down the spread or decrease it. But there's no proof that these things work. So if you're going to say that Donald Trump could have came out with a national mandate and say everybody wear a mask, which is something that his own scientist, Dr. Fauci, who you guys hold up just one step below Jesus Christ, didn't even say it himself. So how can you put that
no,
in Donald Trump's
Dr. Fauci made mistakes. Everybody knows that. But let me ask you, Darius, what do you think then that some of the other countries in the world that are in much better shape now than we are, and they started around the same time that we did, maybe 2 weeks ahead of us. What do you think they did that we didn't do, that they're much better off now and the kids are going back to school and they hardly have any cases?
They're not much better off if you look at it and statistically. What you have is the kids are going to school because they can go to school. The kids here can go to school. But what you have is you have to think when you – I heard you mention a stat earlier about third world countries that have better numbers than us. You got to understand that America, there's probably no country on earth that has a more diverse culture than America does. We've got people from all over the world that live here. A lot of those countries are very isolated in terms of travel other than, like you said, the European countries. But they had it way worse than we did in the beginning. If you we probably fare better than any other country in the world that is as diverse as we are. So that's where people make the mistake when they start comparing numbers. You got to look at the diversity of the number of people from different cultures and religions and backgrounds that are here in the U.S.
He asked you, what did they do differently than what we did to get such a success rate?
They didn't do anything differently.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. They have children going back to school, Darius, and our kids are prepared to go back to school.
We're just refusing to send them back. Our kids are in a – the numbers there
aren't
any different.
Our kids are dying. We got kids dying. Going back to school.
No, you're not being truthful. There are no kids,
brother.
There are no kids dying.
There are no kids
dying from this that don't already have pre-existing conditions. School-age children are not dying from coronavirus.
Oh my God, that is unbelievable for you to say that, and you live in America.
No, it's a fact. it's a fact. I'm not just making it up. It's a fact. There are no school-age children that are dying from coronavirus here that didn't already have pre-existing conditions.
All right, John. Let me
go. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Michael, you wanted to join the conversation. Go ahead.
Yeah, I did. This is very interesting. I'm over here dying laughing, to be totally honest with you. First, I want to talk about the institutes, the us staying at home and the lockdown and the depression that you spoke of. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize what's going on to them being forced to stay in the house. In the black community, we have a word called institutionalized, because in the black community, everyone knows somebody that has been to prison because of mass incarceration, unfortunately. In our community, everybody knows someone has been to prison. And when they come home, we call them institutionalized, because they've been locked inside of a room or a cage or what have you for so long that once they're back in with normal people, they're just different. You can just see the difference in them. They can't even see the difference in themselves, but everyone else can see the difference. You can point them out. You can tell, like, hey, that person's been to prison or that person's been to jail just by the way they act and the way they carry themselves. It's called
hallelujah.
So America is becoming institutionalized, and they don't even realize it because they've been forced to stay in the house for 6 months now. So, yeah, a lot of people are depressed. That's one thing you see from people who come home from prison. They're very depressed. They are. Institutionalized people, that's the first thing you notice about them is they're depressed and they're suicidal. So it's sad to say that America has become institutionalized because we've been forced to stay in. And like the other guy was saying, we're, as human beings, we're accustomed to interacting with people and being out and going to work every day. If we can't do that, we're institutionalized, and it's a really sad thing, and I think no one's talking about it, and people need to start looking at that. It's a mental health issue forcing people to stay in the house is what I'm saying.
I think that's one of the things that's coming out. I'm noticing in the press a lot lately they're all talking about mental issues. I see television ads now for people who are depressed and medications and things like that. Unfortunately, like anything that's advertised like this, then the people who make the pills start off advertising Buy My Pills, which is, I think, not a good thing. But, okay. I'm glad you gave us that point of view. One of the things that just happened yesterday, the Food and Drug Administration acknowledged and agreed to let people start putting out their saliva test. And they said this new saliva test, it's for emergency use, but it has rapid detection. Anybody who's using the saliva test, it'll tell you right there as they're saying it, which is, of course, now that you don't have to stand in line for 20 minutes or 2 hours to get a test, everyone probably going to try to get the saliva test because it's an instant result. And I don't know if you'll be able to buy it at your local drugstore or not, but I do know it was approved yesterday and they're getting ready to push it out there for everyone. So I'm glad that we're trying to go in a different direction. But the other point of this that I would like to have a discussion about is they are working on vaccines. And vaccines, you know, Russia right now has a vaccine they're saying they're using, but of course the United States is saying it wasn't tested long enough, so we're not getting in that. So what I have not heard, and maybe we as a group should put this out there, I haven't heard of a distribution plan if when someone discovers a vaccine and it comes to the United States, who gets it first? What is the distribution plan? That seems to me is going to be a big issue when it comes available. What do you think, Ron? How do you think that should work? I know where it should be coming from. Of course, we know it's not coming from there. But don't you think that's going to cause an issue if, say, you know, 6 months from now there is a vaccine and they finally send it to the United States? Where does it go first? Probably military first. But anyway, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, if the way that our testing is going to be any sign or precursor to how distribution of the vaccine is going to go, then we're in for a rough ride. You know, we're still still trying to get the testing right. So, and you know, I know that the companies that are working on these, you know, potential vaccines that'll work, they're already producing, I don't know, tens or maybe hundreds of millions of the vaccines. But again, you know, the distribution part of the problem, you know, is you know, we're like Don said, you know, it's like 50 different countries, you know, so you've got 50 different states and 50 different governors, and then you've got the local municipalities, and then you've got the federal government, which is very dysfunctional, in my opinion, to try to help in something like this. I don't know. I don't know who gets it first. I mean, I assume that people that are at high risk would be the first ones to get it. But then, you know, there's so many things that can go wrong, you know, or people, you know, how do you prove that you're high risk, for example? I mean, I guess you can go and take your blood pressure, and if you've got high blood pressure, I don't know, David, is what I'm saying.
All right. What about you, Darius? You got any ideas on how the distribution plan for this should come down? I know where it could be coming from, but it doesn't seem to be aware of any, which means doesn't mean that it's not being thought of. It just means that we don't know anything about it, I guess. And there really isn't a vaccine at this point that we agree that will work, but there are hundreds of people working on one. So one could become available. I do know that you know, there are other countries that have a vaccine already.
Yeah, the president did a press conference either Wednesday, I think, or Thursday, announcing how that they were in the final stages of a trial with one of the vaccines, and he said that they were ramping up to do mass production of the vaccine. And he said that he was also talking to military generals in terms of logistics for distribution. Of course, he's going to start with the people who are highest at risk, which would be the elderly, people with pre-existing conditions, and then move down to people who are showing who are at risk of being exposed, which would be our frontline workers, police officers, and then on down after that. So they're already ramping up for that. They have a plan in place, and they have people in place now and putting together a plan for distribution.
The first people that are going to be exposed or tested are people of color. They are disproportionately affected by this pandemic. Don't fool yourself. It's not the military. It's people of color.
Absolutely.
And then when they run the test, you put people on the test, and then you have another half on placebo, which means they are not tested with the virus. That's what placebo means. So then you got to go through a scientific test to find out if this really works. They've circumvented all of this, but let me say this. They can find a different guinea pig than Don, because Don's not going to take the test.
I think they should try it out. I agree they're going to try it out on minorities first, particularly African Americans. But I think they should try it out on conservatives first. They should try it out on those who didn't wear the mask, didn't believe it was serious. Try it out on them first. How about that?
You wishing the unwishable, brother.
It just makes only common sense.
Wow. All right, guys, let's bring that one to a close. Let's talk about this mail and the U.S. Postal Service and moving mailboxes. And it's been said in a lot of the news articles that the president wants to defund the United States Postal Service at the funding it was getting, and it's because of mail-in votes. And I don't know, you know, everybody has their opinion on this, reading the news and getting it from both sides, but that he is afraid that all the people that are mailing in their ballots are Democrats, and that would put him in a bind of winning the presidency. So there is. We all have heard this, and what is the other side of the coin on this U.S. Postal Service thing? Because it's a lot of press about coming down from the top, taking mailboxes off the streets, which has already happened in a couple of states, and defunding the Postal Service, and it's happening during an election time. Doesn't that throw a red flag up for you?
It would, if that were the case. Postal Service has I believe they lost $34 billion or something like that. So they're running a serious, serious deficit, and they're not making money. They can't maintain or sustain themselves. So there's a bill up to give them some extra money. Now, what makes this a problem for the president in a lot of people's eyes is they're saying, okay, he doesn't want to do it because of the mail-in voting, which he did admit partly to himself. But you got to remember, the president doesn't fund the Postal Service. He doesn't do that. That's Congress. So if there's a stalemate there, it's not because of the president, but they want to pin it on him so they can make it look as if, oh, he's holding up, you know, funds for them. He's not. They haven't voted on it yet. Now, what he is willing to do is sign an executive order and issue emergency funds, but he does not want to fund mail-in voting. And I'm with him. And anybody who's for fair, who's for fair elections, and should not want mail-in voting. Because what they do is they look at...
Why did he request his mail-in?
He mailed his own vote in. What are you talking about?
Let me finish, guys. There's a big difference. And see, this is where the media conflates issues, and this is where people get confused. There's a big difference in absentee voting and mail-in
voting. Trump requested mail-in, not absentee.
Let me finish. His was absentee ballot. The absentee ballot is a difference than a mail-in voting. Yeah, you mail in an absentee ballot, but you have to request and apply for it.
Trump doesn't want mail-in.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. He doesn't want it. I don't want it. You shouldn't want it. Because what happens
Why did he request his own for him? Why is he doing
that's
mail-in?
That's absentee ballot. There's a difference, guys. He's requesting an absentee ballot because he's not going to be present in Florida. There's a difference in mail-in voting and absentee balloting. Mail-in voting is when the people in a precinct, they look at the voter's registration, and they just send out mass mail to every household that's registered to vote. Now, there's no way to confirm that the person who's registered is actually sending that ballot back in. Anybody can grab that ballot, fill it out.
What do you tell the 85-year-old lady that has three underlying health issues and would rather just, you know, once participate in the election process, but is afraid to go vote? What do you tell her?
I tell her.
Hey, Jerry, I have a question for you real quick, if you don't mind.
Can I answer one question at a time? Like, I can't answer multiple questions. Okay, the 85-year-old lady. There's a couple of options. Number one, she can do early voting. Number two, she can request an absentee ballot. It's just August. There's more than enough time for her to get an absentee ballot. Mail-in voting is totally different. You guys are conflating the issue. Say again?
Absentee ballot is only if you're not going to be in your state. If she's not planning on leaving the state, but she's afraid to even go in and do early voting,
that is not true. That is not true. Anybody can request an absentee ballot. During the election day, I need an absentee ballot. It doesn't mean you have to be out of state to get to do that. So if people really knew the truth, and the media knows this now, but they're failing to educate the public because they want to make it seem like Donald Trump is suppressing the vote. He's not. He wants fair voting. Everybody should want fair elections. But you can't just
he knows that the Democratic Party votes by mail more disproportionately than any other group of people. So therefore,
and he also knows that there have been several arrests of people that have been ballot harvesting in different elections that have gone out and mass harvested these ballots and turned them in. You had an election in Arizona where the conservative candidate won by 1%. And then they
we
went
have
back
a situation
in.
We have a situation in the state that you're living in right now, Georgia, where the person stole the election due to
Nobody stole any election in Georgia.
Oh,
and we're
he
talking
did. He
about
stole it.
Mail-in.
But yet still, we're talking about the post office.
He lost by 50,000 votes. Stacey Abrams
we're talking
lost
about
by over 50,000 votes. That's not a stolen election. She flat out lost. It was never any point at any time where she was in the lead. What we're talking about now is mail-in voting. Let's stick to the issue. There's a person
okay,
in
so
Arizona.
He appoints his crony, Louis DeJoyce, was with the other rich people that are major contributors to the Republican Party as the Postmaster General to work on his behalf to steal the election.
Okay.
This
if
guy
you think
has
mail-in
no
voting,
experience.
So mail-in voting is going to help steal the election for Donald Trump? Is that what you think? By letting people just mass mail-in votes? Come on, guys.
Why not say we need to get as many people to the polls and mail as possible to get a good voter sample? Why not say that? Why not say that?
The postal system has been in
effect way before he even came to Earth.
There's
huh?
no way to verify.
What about
there's
that?
No way to verify. There's no way to verify that those votes are actually coming from the registered voters when you do mass mail-in voting. That's what I'm saying.
But it's been
so why would you
that,
want that? Why would you want an election? Why would you want an election held that way?
Why would you want to pick up postal box on the corners? Why would you want to pick those up and store?
I have no knowledge.
You,
I don't
do
know
that?
Anything about that. I have no
yes,
knowledge about
doing
any
that,
of that.
Darius.
I didn't say they weren't. I'm not arguing you.
I'm educating you because
I'm
very close to this because I'm seeing them pick up postal boxes on the street, Darius, where people normally would put their mail in a postal box and the post office pick it up and mail it off. They're picking them up and put them in a warehouse.
I don't know what that has to do with voting, but okay.
Okay, well, Darius, let me ask you this question. I'm going to rewind something you just said. I've been listening to you the whole time. You said that you said he did kind of admit that he didn't want mail-in ballots because of the election. Am I correct in quoting you?
No, not kind of. He flat out said he didn't want mail-in. Mail-in voting.
Okay, so you admit that he said that, right? So you're
correct.
Admitting that he said something nefarious, that he said he wants to do something nefarious. You agree to that?
No, I don't agree with that. I didn't say nefarious. I said he does not want, I was very clear, he does not want mass mail-in voting, and I don't either.
Why?
Because you can't verify. Mass mail-in voting means they mail out ballots to people, addresses of people who are registered to vote. People move, people change addresses. There's no guarantee that the person who's in that house is going to fill out that ballot or how many ballots are going to come in from that household. There's no way to judge it. So, no, I don't want
okay,
that.
Okay, so why is this all of a sudden an issue in this election and the previous one?
Because they
we've been doing this for
right.
years.
No,
and why is
no,
this
no,
all
no,
of
no.
a sudden a big issue to where you got to move mailboxes off the street?
Michael, the reason
because you lost the popular vote. That's why.
That's the bottom line
why you're doing it, because you lost the popular vote two elections in a row. That's why
so you
you're
don't
doing it.
So you don't want to hear the answer, then?
I know the answer.
No, the answer is because it's never happened before. There's never been massive mail-in voting. They're trying to use the coronavirus as a reason and an excuse.
So, you honestly, with a straight face, can sit here and say you don't think he's just trying to put his thumb on the scale of the election?
Yeah, I can say that with a straight face, absolutely.
Wow.
You know, we haven't heard from Spencer. Spencer, you've been listening. What are your thoughts on this subject? We don't talk about sports.
Yeah, tell Spencer the only college football team in the country that's got plenty of sense is the University of Michigan.
And the University of Miami is huge, sir.
David, I have a question. I have a question for the group. So this whole mail-in thing has become an issue now for the first time. Why is that? Are people calling the Democrats cheaters? Is that what it is? Because the Republicans can cheat just as well.
Well, the president has called it
because it's never happened before. That's why it's an issue. Nobody ever proposed mass mail-in voting. Never happened before.
There's never been a pandemic. We've never had a pandemic in the middle of
I understand election. That. Yeah, but you can't just say because there's a pandemic, we're going to relax the laws and just send out ballots to addresses and let whoever mail them in with no verification. You can't do that.
Gentlemen, let's just get to the threats of
or,
the matter.
Oh, we can have there is verification, by the way.
Not with mass mail-in. No, you're thinking about absentee voting. There's no verification except for that.
Well, you know what? They should put a thumbprint.
Look at an address.
A thumbprint on the mail-in. Boom. There you go.
Hey, I'm for that. I'll agree with that.
How about an executive order where he mandates that every eligible American citizen has to vote? How about that?
I think that's already kind of the plan.
Yeah.
But
you can't force people to vote.
I mean, but there is, why not? I mean, you want everybody to vote, right? You want every vote counted, right? You guys do want that, right?
Yeah, but
you
can't
not
force
want
people to vote. I do want it, but you can't force people to vote, Michael. That's a right.
Yeah,
it's not mandatory.
Don't
okay, but you're oppressing
the
vote. You're forcing them to not vote.
Don't believe what they say. Believe what they do.
Yeah, you're clearly forcing them to not vote.
That's
you're oppressing
true.
Them and
you
stopping
said.
Their ability to vote. You're
how,
doing
how,
that?
How, Michael, tell me how you – tell me, for personal example, please, anybody on this phone, tell me how they have been prohibited from voting. One person.
Because the old
please.
Lady who normally walks to the corner and drops her ballot in the mailbox,
that
mailbox
I'm
no longer exists because they moved mailboxes. Over the weekend.
Let me make this real for everybody. I'm not an old lady. I'm only 57, but I've got heart failure, and I've got high blood pressure, and I'm obese. So if I can't mail in my ballot, guess what? I'm not going to vote.
And let me say this, gentlemen. If you plant the seed in my head that if I mail my vote in, it may not be counted, why would you even plant that seed in my head?
It's just clear. The Republicans want to suppress the vote.
That's negative talking. It's negativity.
That's what he said. That's what he said.
Yeah, let's just call a spade a spade. The Republicans want to oppress the votes so they can win the election. Let's just call it what it is. That's what it is.
And let's
that's
just call
it.
Yeah, let's stop beating around and call it every other thing
Democrats,
than what it really is. Donald Trump
okay, well,
doesn't
what really
want...
Is, what it really is, Michael, is Democrats want to cheat. They want to do mass ballot harvesting. They want to stack the mail with votes of dead people or people who are no longer on the rolls and try to steal the election from Donald Trump. And
so millions of ballots that have been cast over hundreds of years, how many cases can you say that have been proven of that?
I can tell you just recently in the last few elections, I mean the primaries, we've had people arrested on the Democratic side for ballot harvesting and for holding back marking ballots and holding out Republican votes. We've had two
okay,
elections.
Okay, but it's not a major
Republican
issue. Donald Trump treats this issue better than he
I'm
treats
you,
the pandemic
how,
that's going on right
come,
now.
How come this is not happening on the Republican side? How come the Republicans aren't getting arrested for ballot harvesting or fraud, voter fraud or putting dead people on the rolls or having 101% voter turnout? How come that's not
no,
happening?
No, my friend, you are wrong. There have been Republicans that have been arrested for voter fraud and voter suppression. That's just not true. There are Republicans and Democrats who have been, but it's not a huge, massive problem. Of millions of ballots and millions of votes, we're talking maybe 8 or 9 people. Of hundreds of millions of ballots that have been sent in. You're talking 8 or 9, maybe 10 people, the cases of this here? And you guys are treating it like it's a pandemic. Like I said, he's treating this better. He's giving more attention to that than he's given to COVID-19.
And COVID-19, we've never experienced COVID-19 before. And you know something? You know, I would hate to see November, I think it was the 3rd or the 4th that we're going to have the election, the 3rd or the 4th. I would hate to see rain happen in major cities across this country and people standing in line, no social distancing, mass wet, COVID pandemic trying to vote. That is so stupid. You know, what he's doing is setting it up where when he loses the presidency, he'll be able to stand and hide in the White House from November 4th to January 20th and cause havoc. It's almost like having a divorce in your family with a spouse and the spouse allowed to live in the house for 2 months, and you got to give them access, although we're going to separate. That's what we're looking at. They're going to have to pull this clown out of office.
So you mean like when Obama implanted spies and spied on Donald Trump's campaign and implanted FBI people to go in and sabotage his administration? Is that what we're talking about? Like that kind of activity?
Unproven.
Yeah. Quiet on that one, right? Crickets on that one.
Unproven. Can you prove
not
that?
Not unproven. Hold on. Yeah, I can. An FBI official just pled guilty to a charge of falsifying documents in order to obtain FISA warrants. I was waiting on David to bring it up, but I don't guess it was coming. So, yeah, so that's the first one. And they said, the DOJ said there's many to come. So, yeah, it's proven already.
Okay, so here we have a person that's been in office for three and a half years. Here we have a person who's been in office for 3.5 years, and with the right people in positions, could not prove it for 3.5 years.
The reason why is because they had this phony Russia scandal going on for 2 years, trying to say that he plotted with the Russians to change the election result. No, he didn't. It's already been proven. What are you talking about? Are you not watching TV? They had an investigation that went on 2 years. Mueller could not come up with one.
The problem is that you only watch Fox News. And the reason I know that is because I watch Fox News, too. Listening to you talk, it's like just watching Fox News again.
Did you listen to the Mueller investigation?
One channel.
Did Mueller come up with one case of evidence of Trump colluding with Russia?
Mueller did. Absolutely.
Read the report. He concluded that there was zero evidence. What are you guys talking about?
No, he did not. He said there's evidence, but I'm going to defer this over to Congress to do something about it.
That's not true. He referred the obstruction case over to the DOJ, not the collusion case. He said he found no evidence of collusion. Rod Rosenstein said there was no evidence of collusion. McCabe said there was no evidence of collusion. What are you guys talking about? Are you not watching the news?
You're only watching Fox News. You sound just like Tucker Carlson to me right now. I swear, you sound exactly like Bret Baier, Tucker Carlson, and Sean Hannity. You sound just like them right now.
I got facts to support what I'm saying, Rachel.
Read the report,
and then get back to me and tell me I'm lying. Because obviously,
Wait till after the election and see what Congress
does. Let's talk about what's happening now. Let's talk about this president. There's a plot, an inside plot to destroy this president. Let's talk about that. And these are facts.
Lock her up.
FBI proof. Okay, guys. You don't want to hear. It's okay. I understand. Let's just say then we're going to do this all for jokes or whatever. And then, you know, it's a spoof. But if we're going to state facts, let's stick with the facts. I mean, I can do it both ways.
Okay, the facts are he's taking mailboxes off the street so he can suppress the vote. Okay, that's just a fact.
Is that a fact?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Is that a fact,
Darius? Why would you take...
No, that's not a fact that he's taking them off the streets to suppress the votes. Donald Trump is not taking mailboxes off the streets. They're taking mailboxes off and vote and machines out of the plane because the U.S. Postal Service is experiencing a huge financial crisis right now. That has nothing to do with Donald Trump.
Why wait? Why they do it now? Like, why now of all times to do it? Right now?
I have no idea. I just know that I can tell you it's because he wants to suppress the vote. So you're going to ask and answer your own question.
You said you didn't have the answer, so I figured I'd get you the answer.
I don't have the total answer, but what I'm telling you is Congress has held up their funding. So they don't have any more money right now because Congress will not vote on a new bill to fund the Postal Service. That's what the problem is. And I'm sure the mailboxes being removed and the voting machine, I mean, the sorting machines are being removed because of that. Has nothing to do with voting. The voting is happening in November.
All right, guys. You know, I want to bring that one to a close. But I want there's some other things we want people are listening wanting us to talk about. And one of them is Kamala Harris. What are your thoughts on Biden naming Kamala Harris as VP? I'm seeing comments all over our page about this. Most of them are positive, but then there are birther rules again coming from the top about who should be qualified. She may not be qualified to be VP, but the Secretary of State or whoever that was said, yes, she is qualified to be. But anyway, what are your thoughts? I noticed that, Michael, I noticed on your Facebook page, you're got pictures of you and her together. So, I mean, I know her pretty well. So do you think she is qualified? Do you think she'll be a good VP?
Absolutely, absolutely. And in full disclosure, yes, she is a friend of mine. I've known her since she was the Attorney General. I actually worked on her campaign in 2010 when she was running against Steve Cooley. I was one of her consultants on her campaign. So I know her very well, and yes, I think she would be a great, 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 great vice president. But I do want to address the issue of the birtherism. I do want to know, does Darius believe that that is racist of Donald Trump to throw that out there, that she's not eligible? Because it's reminiscent of what he did to Barack Obama in 2008 with the whole birth certificate. So I'm just curious to know, do people on the right see that as racist or not?
It wasn't racist then when he questioned it, and it's not racist now. But let me say this. He didn't question it. He only cited an article that someone else, which happens to be a constitutional attorney, they wrote the article. Donald Trump did not bring up the issue. So they wrote an article stating that she might not be eligible, and he just merely commented on it. He never said she wasn't. He never said she was. So I don't know where the laughter is coming from or what's funny, but that's the truth. But I guess the truth is funny to you guys on the left.
Oh, Fox News is always hilarious.
It's not Fox News. This is a press conference that I watched personally when they asked him about it. But you guys don't watch press conferences, so you know it'd be hilarious to me too if I didn't have the truth or facts on my side.
Here's a young lady. This young lady was born in Oakland, California. Oakland, California. Why did he say that's not true? She was born in Oakland, California. Instead, he deferred
to
what someone else said. And he fails to realize that when you are the president of the United States, the most powerful country in the world, what you say has power. What you say has weight. What you say has authority and believability. Why couldn't you say that she was born in Oakland, California? This gentleman
Don,
that I'm referring to had it
and
wrong.
Don, the real question we should all be asking ourselves is, why did he even bring it up?
Why did he bring it up?
He didn't bring it up. You guys aren't listening. He didn't bring it up. They asked him about the article. He did not bring
it
up.
No, he said it on national TV. Okay, he's got the bully pulpit. He could have buried it. He's got the bully pulpit. He didn't have to say it. He didn't have to repeat it at all. He didn't have to.
When he repeated it,
it travels around the world when he repeats it. When the doctor said it, it didn't travel that far.
When he repeats it, it travels around the world because he's the president of the United States.
There you go. There you go.
He was asked the question. He didn't bring it up. He was asked the question.
Why did he repeat it?
Because they asked, what are you talking about? They asked him a question.
So he can't be bigger than that and just shoot it down right there? Just shoot it down? Like, no?
I'm living in an alternate universe right now. I'm just like, I'm confused. I don't get it. Like, fact has no place here right now. It's just whatever your narrative is, that's what it is. Forget the fact.
Okay,
the hell with the fact.
At least agree that he could have deaded it right then and there, right? He could have, right?
He could have. I agree with that. Yeah, he could have said,
but he did not, right?
100%. Right, he didn't, right.
Okay, that makes him a jerk, right?
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that, and I won't say it's racist either.
Well, did you still believe that Barack Obama was not born in Africa?
Do I?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. And it doesn't matter what I believe or think. I don't know. How could I know that? How could you know that? How could any of you guys know it? You can. It's only what you believe. Nobody knows.
Because
it.
His birth certificate said Hawaii.
Right. And if you believe the birth certificate, then that's what you believe. But you still don't know for a fact. The birth certificate was produced after months and months of them trying to get it. So you can believe it or not. That's your right. It's his right. It's anybody's right. We don't know. We weren't there.
Kamala Harris' birth certificate shows she was born in Oakland, California.
And nobody disputes that. Nobody's disputing that she was born in California.
Why even bring it up?
What the lawyer,
like Ryan says, why even bring it up?
No. Okay, he didn't bring it up. The lawyer who brought it up, what the lawyer was saying, he wasn't disputing the fact that she was born in California. He was disputing the fact that because her parents, one was from Jamaica, am I right? One was from India. So they weren't citizens. So he was questioning, because she was born here, may have been born here illegally or whatever, I don't know. He was questioning in that. He wasn't saying that she wasn't born.
He was questioning the 13th Amendment, is what you're saying. He was questioning the 13th Amendment.
Okay, so that's what it was. It had nothing to do with him saying
so that the president of the United States was questioning the 13th Amendment.
No,
am I correct?
The president
am
of
I correct in that?
No, you're not. No, you're not correct. The president of the United States commented on what someone else said, and he simply said he doesn't know. And he doesn't.
No, you just said he questioned it. You just said he questioned it.
I was talking about the lawyer, not him. The lawyer who wrote the article. Constitutional lawyer that wrote the article questioning it. It wasn't Donald Trump, guys. Turn the channel every now and then. Stop listening to Don Lemon.
But he did go out of his way to say that this is a very respectable, I think he even said a very smart attorney or something like that. I mean, why? It's like throwing, what's the saying, fuel of the fire or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, guys, jump in, because we only got 2 minutes left in the show today. You guys have been going at it pretty well here. But we only got 2 minutes, and I want to jump to somebody. I see that we didn't get to Jeremiah. He kind of like, he's been there the whole time. This thing, he didn't say anything today. Anyway. Rob, we only got 9 seconds. Quick comment. Don, why don't you give us a quick comment about something you think we should be talking about?
Did you say Don?
I did. D-O-N. Don.
Okay. I think we should be talking about next week, let's talk about the aftermath of what happened August 18th. That's going to be the election here. I don't know if you guys are having the election August 18th, this coming Tuesday, but this Tuesday we're electing a supervisor of election. We're electing a sheriff. We got a judges. Oh, man, this primary here is so highly contested. It's one of the most highly contested primary elections in South Florida history. So Ron and I are very tuned in to what's happening in South Florida this coming Tuesday. Man, it's going to be something else. We have been inundated by political action this year?
Oh, constantly.
Yep.
Well, we want to thank those of you that are listening for coming listening to us today on The Man's Voice. We'll be back again next Sunday. And I guess I should have put out the telephone number, but I will again next week where everyone can call in, although there are so many people listening just holding out there. Glad you could come. Thanks, guys. We will talk again next week. You guys have a safe and wonderful week.
Yeah, you guys take care.
Guys. You guys
Darius,
take care.
Michael,
I enjoyed.
Michael, watch
out. I enjoyed.
Darius, we love you, even though we come down hard on you.
I enjoy it, guys. Thanks so much.
Hey, Darius, I love you.
Take care, everyone.
I love you, Darius.
I love you guys.
I love you, Darius.
I love you guys, too.
I love you guys, too. Trump 2020.